Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. When you hear the word heaven, what do you think of? Do you think of the heaven that the preachers speak of on Sunday morning? That heaven seems to be a very ill-defined place. It seems that it's just a metaphor of some sort depicting the place where good folks go when they die. And, of course, you've heard the old joke where the minister asks everyone that wants to go to heaven, stand up. Then everyone that wants to go to heaven, come forward. And everybody came forward except one person. And then he asked that person, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes, preacher, but I thought you were getting up a boatload to go right now. So on the one hand, people say they want to go to heaven, but many of them don't want to go right now. But yet, ironically, preachers preach that as soon as you die, you go to heaven. But is that really what the Bible teaches? About the most concrete thing that I've heard the Protestants say about heaven is contained in the old song title, When We All Get to Heaven. A line or two of it goes like this. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. What does the Bible, though, really reveal about heaven? Will you spend eternity in heaven? Or, as some think, if you are incorrigibly wicked, will you spend eternity in hell? And do you have an immortal soul? These are vital questions concerning your future. And what do you really know about them? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that is most often translated heaven is shamayim. Shamayim is a plural word that can mean the three heavens. And the Bible does speak of three heavens. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the shamayim, and the earth. So you have the heavens, the sky that we peer up into, the visible sky called the heavens. Then you have the abode of the stars, which we begin to talk about as outer space. And then you have the heavens as the abode of God. We know that the Bible speaks of three heavens. The first heaven, as we have seen from the definition, is the atmosphere that the birds fly in. The second heaven is the outer, what we call outer space. And the third heaven is not visible to humans. This is the abode of God. The Apostle Paul states that he was caught up into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He writes, is it not expedient for me doubtless to glory? I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So here we know that there are three heavens, as we've already noted. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. So we see here clearly that there are three heavens, as we've already noticed. The Greek word that is translated heaven in this verse, where Paul says that he was caught up into the third heaven, is Uranus. And it's a vaulted expanse above the sky with all things visible in it. Or it can mean the region above the heavens, the seat of order of things eternal and consummately perfect where God dwells and other, quote, heavenly beings. But will you go to heaven when you die? And is heaven the reward of the saved? And will you spend eternity in heaven? From time immemorial, people believe that the abode of the gods was in heaven. In Deuteronomy 4:39, we read, know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There's none else. A vivid description of heaven is given in Revelation chapter 4, God's dwelling place and the spirit beings and all the splendor and glory that surround His throne. If people go to heaven when they die, why are none of them mentioned or described in John's vision of heaven in Revelation chapter 4? God warned Israel against making any idols in Deuteronomy 4:23 and 24. This is Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord God hath forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So the pagans worshipped the heavens and thought that there were supernatural powers in the heavens and various gods that represented various things having to do with fertility, the ability to reproduce, and whether or not they could reproduce sexually as human beings, and whether or not they would have bountiful crops. So they looked to the heavens and made themselves idols and gods that were no gods, and came to worship the creation more than the Creator. There is no place in the Bible where it says that heaven is the reward of the saved. You can search it all day long as you want to, but you will not find such a place. Today, several ministers in the Western world will preach sermons in which they will lead you to believe that the person in the coffin in front of them is in heaven. In fact, people will talk about he or she looking down on them and watching over them at that very instant. If heaven is such a wonderful place, why on earth are the people so much in grief at that particular time? All across America, on any given Sunday, the minister will give an emotionally charged sermon and then give an altar call. The big hook on the altar call centers on the question of, where will you spend eternity? And that's a valid question. Where will you spend eternity? The minister has basically said that you will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell, with the implication being that you have an immortal soul, which the Bible does not teach. The soul that sins, it will die, and the Bible speaks of the second death. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, not eternal life in hell fire. It's death, the second death. And then he goes on to write the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For some reason, ministers don't read John 3:13 aloud to their congregations, apparently. Here's what John 3:13 says. Read it for yourself. John 3:13. Just three verses there before the famous John 3:16. So here's John 3:13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. In John 3:13, we see this very clearly. So, but what did Jesus focus on? He focused on the way to eternal life. Jesus didn't focus on saying, you're going to heaven. He said, I am come that they might have life. He said that he is the light and life of the world. Jesus focused on the kingdom of God and emphasized the fact that unless you repent, you are going to perish. Unless you repent and become converted and have the mind of a little child, as he says in Matthew chapter 18, the first three verses, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. And note the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish. To perish means to cease to exist, that he should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ and through God who sent Jesus Christ to this world, so that through Jesus Christ you can be reconciled to God, your sins can be covered, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gift that bridges the great gulf between our mortality and immortality. If we already had immortality abiding within us, why would we need the Holy Spirit to give us eternal life? The kingdom of God is coming to this earth and we will be governed by kings and priests. And the good news is we can all be one of those kings and priests in the kingdom of God and in the family of God. Note what John writes in Revelation 5:10. Once again, Revelation 5:10, get it? Your Bible, read it for yourself. Here's what it says, "And have made unto us, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Not in heaven, but on the earth. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent to the New Covenant Church, the Apostle Peter proclaimed in Acts 2:29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that out of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his psuche, his soul, his life essence, was not left in hell," that is Hades, the grave. In the New Testament, there are three words, three Greek words that are translated hell. One is Gehenna, that is the fire that burns you up and causes the second death. Another one is Hades, which means the grave. And the other one is Tartaru, which means a condition of restraint. So Jesus Christ's life essence was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherewith we're all witnesses. They saw Jesus Christ after he was resurrected. In fact, he appeared to as many as 500, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, being by the right hand of God and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended in the heavens, but he said himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand." So Jesus Christ says in John 3:13 that no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man, who has ascended into heaven after his resurrection. Peter says that David has not ascended into the heavens, yet the Bible speaks of David being in the kingdom of God. So when will he be in the kingdom of God? When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will continue to explore the question, where will you spend eternity? If you would really like to know what the purpose of human existence is and where you will spend eternity, all you have to do is call for our free booklet. The free booklet titled, "What is Your Destiny?" will help you understand the purpose of human existence. And also at the same time, we would like to send you another free booklet, "The Road to Eternal Life," to show you in this booklet the steps necessary for you to receive eternal life. Do you know that some 99% of Americans believe that there is life after death, and most of them believe that they're going to heaven, yet at the same time, they live their lives as if they deny the very existence of God? And many of these same people who think that they're going to heaven when they die will actually make fun of the things that are said that come straight out of the Bible. You need to start reading the Bible for yourself, and we can help you get started on the path of true understanding of what the Bible really teaches. So call for these two free booklets, "What is Your Destiny?" and "The Road to Eternal Life." They'll be sent to you free, no charge, no follow-up. No one will call on you unless you ask them to. So for the free booklets, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We saw in the first segment of our program that Jesus Christ himself said that no man has ascended into heavens. Peter, in his inspired sermon on the day of Pentecost, when the New Covenant Church began in 31 A.D., proclaimed that David had not ascended into heaven. He also said that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, not King David. This also shows that God and Christ are not this some kind of trinity, but distinct entities, and their life is giving essence to those who believe. That is, their life is a life-giving essence. It is the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have God's Spirit, you don't have eternal life abiding within you. Thus, the Holy Spirit is not a person, but the divine essence of God. And the only way you can have eternal life is to become a partaker of the divine essence of God. And this is done through repentance and faith, and being baptized and receiving the laying on of hands for the receipt of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Among the most often quoted verses that supposedly support going to heaven when one dies are found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and 2 Corinthians 5:8. First of all, let's read and examine John 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So where will Jesus Christ be when he comes again? And what does he mean by mansions and preparing places for you? So let's notice the key words in these verses here. First of all, in my Father's house, what does it mean by house? The Greek word for house is hetoimazo. It means a dwelling place. So in God's dwelling place, there are many mansions. Now, the Greek word for mansion is mone, M-O-N-E, and it means also a staying, an abiding, a dwelling, an abode. So in my Father's dwelling place, there are other dwelling places. In John 14:23, the Greek word that is translated mansion, that is mone in 14:2, is translated as abode. So here's John 14:23. "Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our mone, or mansion, with him." So we see here that we have dwelling places and that God dwells in us. And he also, Jesus Christ, dwells in us. It says, "We will come unto him and make our abode with him." And they dwell in us through the Holy Spirit, the divine essence of God in Christ, because God is Spirit, John 4:24. The Greek word that is translated prepare in verse 3 is hetoiomzo. Hetoiomzo means to make ready, prepare, to make the necessary preparations. So Jesus Christ is making the necessary preparations to administer his government here on the earth when he comes again. And if you remember some of the parables, that we're going to be rewarded according to our works, and we're going to be given charge over so many cities. Some people will be given charge over 10 cities, some 5 cities, some 1, and some none, and they will be told to go into Gehenna fire prepared for the devil and his angels, where they will be burned up and experience the second death. And then the Greek word that is translated place, I go to prepare a place for you. A place is any portion or space marked off, as it were, from surrounding space. And metaphorically, it means the opportunity to execute power or authority or an office. So Jesus Christ says that he is going to prepare a place, an office for us. And in my Father's house, there will be many of those opportunities in the kingdom of God. The question that arises is, where will Jesus be then when Jesus Christ comes again. We know that we will be caught up in the air to meet Him, but where will be the place of His abode, and what offices will He hold? Once again, Revelation 5:10, Jesus Christ is a king and a priest. In fact, He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and He is also our high priest. But when He comes again in the kingdom of God, Revelation 5:10 once again, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're going to rule and reign with God and Christ on the earth. Now let's read and examine the often quoted 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the implication being here among some is that the very instant you die, the soul flies out of the body, which you don't have a soul, as we've already noted, that the only way to immortality is through Jesus Christ. You must repent and exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit in order to bridge that great gulf between mortality and immortality. As it, once again, as Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, the second death, from which there is no resurrection. And then he goes on to say the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So once again, what does Paul mean when he says, we're confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord? Does he mean that you'll be present with God at that very instant in heaven? In other places in Paul's writings, he uses an entirely different word for present. This word present here in 2 Corinthians 5:8 is endemeo. Endemeo is only used three times in the New Testament. It is translated one time as home, one time be present, and another time present. The Greek word here is not the one that Paul uses to denote being physically present at a particular instant. For example, in 2 Corinthians 13:2, Paul writes, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. That Greek word that he uses there for present is not the one that he uses in 2 Corinthians 5:8. It is not endemeo. It is another Greek word that has to do with being at hand, to have arrived, to be present. And that Greek word is paraimai. Paraimai means to be right there, to be present, to be ready in store, at command. In 2 Corinthians 13:10, therefore I write these things about being absent, less being present, being right there. In Galatians 4:18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present, parimi, that is the Greek word, parimi, to be at hand. So it's a different Greek word to be literally, physically present at that instant. It's a different word that Paul uses throughout his writings to be right there at hand, to be present, than the one that is used in 2 Corinthians 5:8, where he says to be present with the Lord. So when will this earthly tabernacle be dissolved? And when will we ever be with the Lord? That is, in His presence, in the sense that some take 2 Corinthians 5:8. The resurrection takes place, and we're caught up to meet Christ in the air. It will be at that instant. Notice the sequence clearly from the Scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And that will be the seventh trump, as we read later in 1 Corinthians 15. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the dead in Christ rise before those who are alive, and they are caught up together. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that is, those who were dead and have been resurrected, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When will we ever be with the Lord? At the resurrection. Paul goes on to say, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So note clearly that Paul states in verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul clearly states to us when this will take place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We don't have it abiding in us right now. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Apparently, the saints are caught up to the third heaven for a brief season for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But we notice that the dwelling place of the saints will be on the earth. In Zechariah chapter 14, in verse 4 it says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Jews want to be buried on the Mount of Olives because they think they might get a head start on the resurrection. So it's even a common teaching among the Jews that the resurrection starts when Jesus Christ comes again, and that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. You can read it for yourself, Zechariah 4 and verse 14. And then note once again the promises, and God makes us kings and priests to him, and we shall reign on the earth, Revelation 5:10. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, Revelation 20 and verse 14. And eventually, as you see in Revelation 21, that even the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. So we can see very clearly here that we have a choice. We can either dwell in the kingdom of God as kings and priests, rule and reign with God and Christ forever, or become ashes under the feet of the righteous. Which one will you choose? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We're offering this week, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life? You need to know where you will spend eternity and how you can spend eternity in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, ruling as kings and priests with God and Christ forever and ever. So call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening to World News and Prophecy next week.